Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Ash Wednesday begins a season where the church teaches her people to live a life of repentance. That life of repentance does not begin on Ash Wednesday, but rather begins at the baptismal font, where the people of God are called to faith in Christ and are called again his children and made heirs of eternal life. Baptism ushers you into a time of repentance, and Lent is that time in the church year when the people of God are made to understand and know this life of repentance. Tonight, in order to help us in this task, we meditate upon the word of the prophet Micah. He says something that seems strange and almost undiscernible to us, for he says these words, "Make yourself bald and cut off your hair because of your precious children. Enlarge your baldness like an eagle, for they shall go from you into captivity." In Jesus' name, dear children of God, the words of the prophet Micah open to us a world with which we are largely unfamiliar. The basics may seem familiar to us: God's people sin in the Old Testament, God responds with words of judgment, the people respond with sadness and horror. Micah the prophet is sad because he lives to serve God. His name is a rhetorical question. It means, who is like Yahweh? Or who is like God? The name Micah states what needs to be stated for us to understand repentance, and that is that no one and nothing is greater than the Lord God. Through his prophet Micah, God lays out the punishment for Samaria and for the house of David. Micah was dealing with a situation where the prophets and preachers were only concerned with political correctness. They worked in league with the royal cabinet of bureaucrats, as we might refer to them today. This altered their preaching. Instead of preaching and prophesying God's word and truth, they preached only things that would keep them in everyone's good graces. Political correctness is not new. This corrupted the nation. And since the truth of God's word was not being proclaimed and people were not being led in the correct directions, everything in society started to go askew. Sexual impurity ensued. The people began to worship pagan deities. The high places and mountaintops were not used for praying to Yahweh. Instead, the high places were used for worshiping false gods. Corruption, both political and monetary, became enormous issues. And during Micah's days of prophecy, there was also a corruption from within. The infrastructure of the church began to deteriorate. If that wasn't bad enough, there was another mounting problem in Micah's day. The imperial Assyrian army was picking up speed. The Assyrians were growing in power. Isaiah, contemporary of Micah, in like manner speaks of the Assyrians and their coming onslaught. Picture, if you will, a strong ancient army. They are all unified by their uniforms. These were professional soldiers, and they knew how to fight. This was not an army with which one wanted to contend. This army was preparing to come to lay waste to Samaria and Judah. Isaiah also says that this army was going to be used as the rod of God's anger. And Micah speaks of this coming destruction in the chapter that precedes the words you heard tonight. What does Micah say in response to this ill news? He says, "Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackal and mourning as the owl." In this way, Micah says that the people should roll themselves in the dust. This chapter appears to be completely void of any gospel, but full only of words of judgment. But the picture of Micah wailing and howling as he is stripped and naked leads to something different than what has been going on in these lands. When Micah says the people are to roll in the dust and to shave their heads bald, you are seeing something that was not happening there for some time. All of these things, the wailing, the howling, the shaving the head, and the rolling in the dust, were virtual manifestations of repentance. Now, I do not submit, especially to you children, that you take it upon yourself to roll in the dust. So let me state clearly now, that was then and this is now. But there is a time that God would have you hear that you too are called to repentance. You see, rolling in the dust is a symbolic action that acknowledges that you were from the dust, that you were created by God. This is to acknowledge that you're not in control of your life, ultimately. To roll in the dust and to shave the head was in effect saying, "I no longer live for myself." To roll in the dust was to recall the words in Genesis that man was formed from the dust of the earth, and to that dust he would return. What was important about this action was that the person who did it was acknowledging a great chasm, a difference that exists between God and man. God is not of the dust. God is eternal. That means God has no beginning and God has no end. Hidden in these ashes and dust is hope. Now, one cannot overlook the importance of Micah's words of judgment. It was the only hope for the people to be turned in repentance. A silent prophet in the Old Testament means bad things for the people. Even prophecies of doom like Micah's must be valued as God's gifts to his people, for silence is worse than judgment. And the great and strange irony is that the prophets who were only speaking soft words in Micah's day were as though they were silent, for they were doing the people no good. But because through him, God calls the people to repentance, God also gives hope to the people through Micah. St. Paul speaks striking words that seem to be running in the same line as Micah when he says, Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" And so, dear friends, words of law are to be equated to God's kindness for the recipient. Children need to hear the word no sometimes. Parents need to hear the word no sometimes. You need to hear that word sometimes. It is a difficult word, oftentimes uttered. And when those who are in authority and placed there by God, be they parents or governmental authorities or pastors, to be silent is sin. Especially for pastors, law and gospel are to be preached, for both law and gospel are to be valued as God's gifts to his people. For it is through the law of God that we come to know our sin and our need for repentance. But the reality for those gathered here this night is that you are in grave danger. And that grave danger comes from without, from the world, from the devil, but also from within, from your own sinful flesh that leads to sinful inclinations and desires. To acknowledge your sin, as painful as it is a reminder to yourself that you are not God. You have a beginning and you have an end, but God is eternal. You face struggles today too, whether they be struggles from within the church as the people in Judah and Samaria battled, or whether there is an enemy from without that threatens to overtake you, such as terrorism, disease, or death. You can be certain of this one fact, that in his love and mercy, God has sent his Son into the world and to the cross for you. You can be certain that Jesus the Christ is your everlasting help. And to repent of your sins is to be turned by Christ so that you look at the Savior who has conquered the enemy for you. It is this image of Christ crucified that has been bestowed upon you in your baptism, because it is in your baptism that God's answer is given to you. It is in the image of the cross that was marked upon your forehead and upon your breast that you are reminded that you are not God, but have instead been redeemed by him. And so as you roll in the dust, that is, as you live out your life of repentance, you remember your own mortality. You remember your frail soul and your stature. And you remember especially the image of Christ hanging on the cross for you is the Father's answer for your difficulties. And even though that image brings with it some shame for our own sinfulness that put him there, it is still God speaking good words and not remaining silent toward you. For Christ's answer for you is one of atonement, forgiveness, love, pardon, nurture, protection, and promise. The answer you need this day and each day as you live out your life of repentance is Christ Jesus crucified for you and for the world. This brings freedom for you, for the sacrifice of Jesus spells the breaking of your own bondage and enslavement to sin, Satan, and death. But you are holy, you are loved, you are blessed. For as the scriptures declare, in many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to you by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.